Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Falling in love with Jesus.
Oh, I feel a special anointing in this place. The glory fills this place. Could you just, for just a moment, with the fruit of your lips, just begin to thank God? Come on, in your own words, if he's been good to you. If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be here tonight, but he's been good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I dare you to just give him the praise. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You got to tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you do,
yeah.
Let me hear you say,
don't do it without me.
Sweet Jesus,
don't do it without me.
I know you got a lot of people to take care of.
I need you.
I want you to say it about the music.
My, don't do it without me. Whatever you're doing this season, Lord, don't do it without me. If you're healing, don't do it without me. Good morning. We thank God for another day. Thank God for another starting of a week. Can we believe that God, he's the one that rose us up this morning, and he allowed us to come together once again in thanksgiving and praise, just to lift him up today. We just thank God for the things he have done and about to do, even right now. We just thank him. Just thank him. He's been so good to us. We've just been worshiping God day after day, knowing that when he's over the morning, that we'll be able to see him in person. Never know the hour, never the time. Man, children should be a parent, preparing themselves. And when you're doing this, don't think you ain't going to make no mistakes. How you make the mistakes, how you come up from them. We ask God to be in the midst of us right now. We ask God to cover us like right now, because there's a cruel world out there, man. You can do anything you want to. Nobody has strings attached no more. There's no conviction of the Holy Spirit and a lot of things out there. But I found out God is still God. God is still God. So are you worshiping him? Are you thanking him for just doing the things he done in your life? I'm telling you, we thank you for the prayers from my niece. We thank you for how she went through that. It was a long, lengthy operation, but God prevailed. You know, he stepped in right on time. You know, she has a disappeared right now. You know, I talked to her this morning, but I just want to tell you all, thank you for the prayers. We believe in prayer. We believe in God. Say, man, you pray without cease. That even when you don't think about it, you'd be surprised how many times you're praying to God, because you don't sound like deacon or a preacher or somebody who says the Bible scriptures, who can humanize the praying to the Lord. But all you have to have is a sincere heart and believe that God is able. The Bible says just to live by faith alone. Are you living by faith? You know, did you wake up this morning and say, I was glad when they said, let's come to the house of the Lord? Because I really believe that we are the temple. We are the temple of God. And God wants us to come before his court with praise and thanksgiving. He don't want us to sit down on our praise. He don't want us to come in and war with me. If you do, you don't leave like you came. You know, because you can change. All you got to do is allow the Spirit of God is to rest in your heart. You know, He wants to minister to this morning. You know, we at work and we here and going to be with you very short. But I must give you a word of encouragement to the book. Paul preaches he don't compromise in God's word. And I want to start off with that word, and we're going to be in Romans. We're not going to hold you long. We're just going to say a few words, and if it be God's will for someone who wants prayer, if it be God's will for somebody who wants to wave their hand, they can. But we're going to be in Romans 1, starting in verse 8. We're going to pray Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace. Lord, we come in the most humble manner we know how, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for your sweet spirit, Lord, that's in this place, Lord. We believe that, when we come together, God, you are in the midst. So we thank you for your Son, who you sent down here, who knew no sin and took on this whole world of sin and took it to Calvary, Lord, so we can have an opportunity to be able to witness to each other, even Father God, in fellowship with each other, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you to have your way, Lord. Bless us, Lord, if we go higher in this ministry today, Lord. Let the Spirit of God touch someone, or it might be one ask, what must I do to be saved? Can you help us, Lord, as we go along the way, Lord? Because we know we can do nothing without you, but everything with you. So we ask you, Father God, as we decrease, for you to increase, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to hide us behind the cross as we speak your word, Lord, whether through teaching and preaching. Move people hard to hear your conviction of the Spirit, Lord. Not the divorce, but the message, Lord. Let the message touch the heart, Lord. Lord, we just pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for the ones that, Father God, don't even pray for themselves, but Lord, we lift them up as well. Lord, we ask you, Father God, for healing and recovery over the ones that are going through things and procedures of operation, or even the Father God that's going in for that COVID thing, Lord. We just ask you to be with us today, Lord. Leave with us as we come in the most humblest mild way we know how. Just to thank you, Father God, for hearing the prayer and grant us thy peace. This we pray always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's good to know Jesus. Fellowship. You know, Paul was dealing with the Romans at this time, making way for the ministry of God. He wanted to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to be more effective with it, so he was evangelizing. And so he had come up in a place that he always had, he was on the opposite side of this coin one time. And what he was doing, he was taking the children of Israel, the people that believe in Jesus Christ, taking them to the Romans and fishing them, getting them killed. But now things have turned around. Now he's taking the opposition is all the way now. Now he's believing in our Lord and Savior. So he's carrying the record right here. And this record he got is some strong documents that he's teaching to the Roman officials. You know, they can only one to be able to give capital punishment. So he was standing bold when he was teaching and preaching this thing. And the verse 8 says, and 1 and 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, like we said, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Out six, I make mention of you always in my prayer. Help me, Holy Spirit. He was thanking God for all the ones, see, that was the ones there that believed in Jesus Christ. There was some really trying to live for God. And he was thanking God because they've been well spoken of. You know, you hear someone, and I'll be telling the guys sometimes, you can kill your witness. You know, you can tear that witness up. That's why God wants us to understand that fruit. He wants to be fruitful. If I can just hold your pen right there, you don't have to go with me. It's the margin. It's just a mark. You know, we had stopped on there, but I want to add this in there. Mark says, when Jesus came up to this fig tree, 11 and 12, he said, and on that mark, when David was come to Bethany, he was hungry. And you're seeing a tree afar off, and after having leaves, he came, if it was heaven, to make it find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the fig tree was not yet. And Jesus answered, said unto them, because this is what we're trying to get to, no man eat fruit the hereafter forever. And the disciple heard it. Jesus looked at that tree, and he cursed that tree. Because there was no fruit at that time. He had been traveling, and he's been traveling, preaching God's word, trying to get man to follow his father. And look what happened. He had got hungry and wanted to eat. You know, and then you look at verse 13, say, what is the season? All it was leaves on this tree. But when Jesus come to the tree, he saw upon palm and seeing and knowing it should have been fruitful. We should be fruitful. People should know that we are children of God. They should be guessing that we love God. They should know that we love God. And I love this part because in verse, when it said back on Romans, verse 8, and he was telling, he was giving thanks for God. There's a lot of people, you know, you want to be encouraged when you're doing something for the Lord. You want to be encouraged, but not encouraged to lift yourself up. But Paul said there's some good things about him. That's why he said throughout the whole world, he heard these things. For God is my witness. I'm going to move on. Line, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without cease I make mention of you always in my prayer. That's what we do as ministers. Anybody that is praying and leading folks, or even somebody being vandalized, even somebody have a house that, and you know you want God to be in the presence. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for the ones. Don't even pray for themselves as well, too. And Paul was praying for them because during this journey, at that time, popular thing, if we say it right now, you know, you can go around every corner sometimes in some culture. You can see a church in every neighborhood, and sometimes next beside each other, you know, and it's trying to get the word out. But I want to tell you something. He's going to be a witness for God. That's what he did. And he wants us to be a witness for God. But in the spirit, he's here allowing God to use him, not his intellect, not that he can talk. He had over 14 languages. He wrote over two-thirds of the Bible. He had all that. He was equipped. He was Pharisee. But one thing he did, he had a humble spirit. God gave him a humble spirit because when he knocked him off the road of Damascus, he was going to take the people to the Roman officials, and God put him in a light for 3 days. Now God allowed him to see. Now he got to see the light. Now God allowed him to spread the gospel. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he wanted for people to know Jesus came down 42 generations. He came through a lot of people. He went through a lot of, so his land go a long way. So he had some of everything. And then he had some of the people you would even call sometimes is your family member. But Jesus had him in there. He had you and I in his mind. And that's what Paul was teaching that. But he was praying for them because we need prayer. Somebody know what I'm talking about. If you're on this journey, you're going to need some prayer. And he kept mentioning them always in his prayer. I pray for all my brothers and sisters. I mention names to the Lord. And sometimes I don't mention them. I just say, Lord, bless my friends. Bless my family. Bless my loved ones. You know, this God, Lord, go before him, Lord. And you know one thing I learned about God? He is a just God. Well, we're going to find out that one day, that he's going to reign in the just and just alike. That's why I like when Paul was right here, when he said, making a request. If by any means now I might have prospered journey by the will, that's what I love about this, of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you such spiritual gifts to the end. And what he said, you may be established. That's what he's trying to posit us. He didn't come with no tangible blessing. He came with a spiritual, not a materialistic blessing. He came for a spiritual blessing so you and I can see God is in the midst of him. He wanted them to see and feel the power of God. He didn't want them to be leaning on God for tangible things only, but he wants them to lean on him for spiritual things. Don't you know God will wake you up in the middle of the night? Don't you know God will speak to you in the middle of the night? Have you ever been going down the road and then God gave you something spiritual in your mind that you want to do for him? Not for yourself, but for him. Sometimes you could just be listening to the radio. Sometimes you could be listening to one of your favorite songs and he put something in your heart. Paul wanted to put something in their heart. He wanted to give them that gift. that spiritual gift that they can lean on to any time. Do you want to lean on to the spiritual gift? God have a spiritual gift. And number one, we've been talking about for a few days that we should love our God with all our might and all our strength and love our neighbors as ourselves. That is the greatest commandment he gave of all. And until we get that in our heart, until we look at that, we can love others through him. We won't see him through our eyes, but we'll love him through him. But Paul wanted to put something in their heart. He was journeying. And on this journey, he had made this quest for the Lord that he can apply this spiritual life into them at this time, that gift. And I don't know about you, when you're dealing with Christ, that he'll open up some things in your eyes you said you thought you knew until he came in and opened up some deep mystery of his scripture. And you start seeing it, and then you start saying, well, how did I miss that? Because God gives in part. Help me, Holy Spirit. And when he gives in parts, only the spiritual level can understand in parts. He's not going to give you meat and you still on milk. Somebody understand what I'm talking about. that growth come by studying and studying the word of God. The Bible says workmanship and not be ashamed, for right the fire the word and truth. That's what we're doing right now. We're trying our best to rightly divide the word and truth. And I find out when you do this, sometimes the adversary try to put something in the way. But look here. Sometimes you put sleepers on. You say, I'm just going to read a chapter today. I'm going to read a verse today. And then all of a sudden you get tired or something get distracted you and get your mind off of it. Paul wants you to have a spiritual gift. So when you've got this spiritual gift, you go to prayer first before you get in the word. And then when you feel like yourself getting distracted or something, maybe somebody might come up on your phone or something. Maybe somebody might be trying to call you or something, and you look at them and you turn the phone off or you put it to the side because you want some devotional time with the Lord. Don't you ever think about that, giving God some of your time? Some of us say we're doing it right now. I'm big at this. I know we're doing it right now because you'll probably get more in the word right now than people get in church, sisters and brothers. You know why? Because sometimes they go to Sunday and they don't pick it back up to next Sunday. Oh, I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. Look what the scripture says. Let me try this up again. For I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. I love it. To the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mature faith, both you and me. And he's trying to encourage them, you know, trying to encourage them to what he's going to allow them to see and try to deposit them, Jesus in them. They can relate to that because they know him. You know, they mature in faith. You know, when you mature in faith, you don't fall for the okie doke all the time. Help me, Holy Spirit. You don't fall for anything going across. You know, I'm reminded of something, too. You know, I'm at work, but I'm reminding you of something right now so you can understand what I'm going to say, that God will make a way for you to understand. But he's not going to pour everything on you like this, like our brother Paul is doing. He's in a mature faith, both you and I. He's coming to them because he know they know. He's coming to them because he knows some of them in the midst know him and know what he's talking about. But there's some don't know. But when he leaves, he's going to deposit some, and some of the ones there so they can spread the news, be a example to the people. So he encouraged the people when he said that he said right here again, that is what I may be comforted to together with you. He said, by the mature faith, both of you and me, now I would not have you ignorant. I like this for. Ignorant is not, and when we hear people say, boy, are you ignorant? That's ignorant. When you hear that word, and we look up in the English language, that is a form of lack of knowledge. You know, some of you could, I already knew that, but some of us, we don't have the knowledge of God. We don't understand in the knowledge of God. So he's coming to them trying to teach them. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. Now I want you to know the man. That's what he said. Back up again. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that all time our purpose is to come unto you, but as let hither, that I may have some fruit among you also. Help me, Holy Spirit. Even among other Gentiles. He wants them to know there are some people in the midst of you. There are some people who know me, and they've been fruitful. You know, and I love that part, that when you give, and you give God's word, it multiplies. Because when you're around someone and you're learning, you've been fruitful. Now, since you got some deposit in them, now you need to transfer that to others. People should feel the presence of God when you're around. Oh, I know I'm around about it. They should know God is in the midst. There should be nobody guessing that God is in the midst. So being fruitful, he's seeing that how they're grabbing, they're growing. The church is growing at this time. And he's seeing that, and he told them, he said, in the back of it, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Because, you know, when you look at the Jews and you look at the Gentiles, they are not always together, but at this time, he's going to tell them this among Jews and Greek at this time. Watch how he's reading in verse 14, how he's not jealous, how he's not prejudiced. Look what he said. He said, I am indebted both to the Greek and to the barbarians and to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. He said, that are at Roman also. I love this part. That in Rome also. He was there. That's why when we get the word, we don't never just say, everybody can come over here, whoever believes. We don't say that. We open the church up. We open the door up and let anybody come in. You can come in prayerfully, and when you come in, the Spirit of the Lord will bless your soul that you might want to change. You might want to join and join the church, or you might just want to come in this fellowship. But let me tell you something. I believe wherever God is, the one of those spirits would have to leave. You know what I'm talking about? So if the deliverance of the pastor teaching and preaching help you see God different, that's what Paul wants to do. You want to see him different. He comes for all, not even just the Jews, but the Greek, the barbarians, and the wise and unwise. He comes for all people. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go for just the wise. I'm just going to go for the Jews. He came for all of us. And the barbarians and the people out there don't have what we call running out there like renegades. They do what they want to live, how they want to live. Some people say, I'm not ready yet. You know, they good with that. Oh, I'm just not ready yet. But I'm telling you, that stuff going to run out one day. That stuff going to run out one day if you say you're not ready. Paul said, I come to preach. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel. You know, because when he went before the Roman official, all them people didn't believe. But look what he's doing right now. He wanted to preach God's word. He wanted to preach God's word to them, telling them about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good news. Help me, Holy Spirit. And he wanted to do it in Rome, when a lot of folks were all Jews. They had all sorts of people there, and that's what he just spoke of. He came to preach to them. That's why he said, for I am not ashamed, help me, Holy Spirit, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, like we said, to the Jews first, and also to who? To the Greek. I love this thing because he doesn't leave us out. He came because they know how God wanted this ministry to be. He came. And he came with open arms, an open heart to all people. Help me, Holy Spirit. But when he came with authority. Oh, help me, Spirit. It wasn't wavy in his preaching. It wasn't wavy because he see a few people in there. But he came with ready to preach God's word. He didn't come to be get applause, no amen come. He came to preach the gospel. Help me, Holy Spirit. And he wanted to preach the gospel of Christ. Because they have been in calendars like this here. They have never been, everything they've been known, they know the Mosaic law, but they didn't know about Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. For he gave them God gave him the power. He said, this power comes from God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you believe, the Bible is plain. If you believe, we're going to rush over this a little bit. If you believe, that's all he asked. If you believe, then the salvation is yours. Oh, we know this, right? Because we read it too many times. If you put your finger down just for a second.
Brother, I'm sorry. I heard something. And I got a question. I heard something. I'm sorry for breaking in like that.
Come on, Doc.
When you say he came not only for the Jews so he came for sinners and to try to convert them, and he came for the one that was already converted.
Yes, because some of them knew the Mosaic law, right? And they strive on holding the people to the law. So he was trying to reverse their mind of teaching about the spiritual thing of God. That was a physical time that they had to go to the altar and go to the high priest. And now he was teaching them about Jesus. And he was telling them about how he come, and he wanted to reverse their thinking and their mind of worshiping. And that's why he looked at all different type of people, like he said about the unwise and the wise. So he won't discriminate that he just come from one race of people. He said Jews and Greek.
Come from all nations.
To
the step. Mm-hmm. Okay. My other question here, it's really not a question. It was, you said be fruitful and multiply. You know where it's going, Pat? Mustard seed. Could a pastor be the mustard seed and him putting the word out being the fruit, and the multiplication came with people following that pastor or following that religion? Could that be spreading the word?
You got a lot of truth in that. But the mustard seed was like a faith. The mustard seed, what he was telling when he did the parable about the mustard seed, he was telling them, if you have a faith of a mustard seed is what you plant in the ground, right? And there's a big tree. It came to be a big, you take a little bit of seed, but it came out to be a big tree, and birds lodge under there. People was riding horses and donkeys, riding under there, and they got shade under there. And he was saying, yeah, that much faith. It was more like a protection for a pavilion for us. So that's why he said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, so small, you can look at this seed and it'd be so small and it grows so big.
Well, that's not what I was getting at. If you're preaching Christianity, you're preaching God's word, you fertilizing the people's mind. And if I speak about it and tell somebody about it, wouldn't that be growth? I had those questions. I was listening.
No, you good? You good? Now I want to add that when you said about the adding, the Bible says one man plant the seed. That's Paul, and Apollo adds the water. Mm-hmm. But God does.
That would be the pastor planting the seed on the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's speaking it every day and teaching it every day. It's fertilizing people's mind spiritually. And spiritual mind, I might hear something, I go tell somebody else about it, and it just sprouts and gets bigger and bigger. And the growth, that's what I was listening to. That's what I was getting back when you said that multiply.
Yeah, you good. You good. You good because you're being fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
See, like right now, if you take this word of God, right, that you've been taught, and you go somewhere and God allows you to witness to somebody, and they believe in the witness, you're being fruitful. Is there anything about what you're teaching and preaching that people can say, I've learned, that I see something? You're being fruitful, Paul, I don't know if you was on a while ago, but I read about how Jesus came to a tree, And Jesus came to that tree, that fig tree, but didn't have no fig. And he cursed that tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? But it wasn't even seasoned for the tree. But Jesus, you know, you speaking 100% God and 100% man. He knew that if he said it should have fig on it, it's supposed to have fig on it. But he's dealing with man. Well, man has to be fruitful. You know what I'm talking about? We should always have something to help somebody with. You know what I'm talking about? Especially along this journey we're doing right now. Because a lot of people are starting for the word of God. But people also start for examples. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we look at movie stars. We look at people with money. And we look at everything like that to do what? To do what? To look at our lives, think it, and parallel our lives out of them. You know what I'm talking about? But not so
little. Yeah, we compare our lives and won't and judge and do all this through our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now this I was listening to, man. This might not sound just we off key right here. Right? They get up there and they go to the wars. I don't look at the wars no more anyway. It's been a while since I looked at it. We look at the wars, right? The people taking a war after calling our sister B's and H's, and then they get up and say, "I thank God." You know, it's kind of like slapping them in the face. You know what I'm talking about to me? You know what I'm talking about? You didn't mm-hmm. won a war. You didn't been lifted up because man said you did good. You sold we don't call them records no more, but you know, songs. You know, it went viral. You done sold a lot of, made a lot of money off of it, and you get up there and you thanking God. I can call some or sister or brother,
degrading a woman,
killing it out. Yeah. Brother too though, because he degrading himself when he called another woman a B. He can call another man a B or an A. He just defending. He really messed up his whole self to me. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Because God made us all. How can you talk about somebody, say, oh, elephant head, oh, fat, oh, this and that? You didn't create that person. God created that person. God took time and made that man what he is. Don't you know we all come from dirt? You know what I'm talking about? He didn't want to breathe the breath of life in man a long time ago. So we have no, we shouldn't be that bold to step up like that and talk about somebody. Now watch when I deviate like I did, because we lift up certain people, but not God. You know what I'm talking about? But then I learned, you know, some of my little short time being here, a lot of them getting their rewards now, if you understand what I'm saying. A lot of them getting their rewards now. You know what I'm talking about? And he said he sets them on slippery ground, if you don't mind. You know, he sets them there, and then he allowed them to repent too, though. He'll give them opportunity to repent for what they're doing, if you understand what I'm saying. So that's why when we out here trying to teach and preach God, be a witness to God, where we need to be fruitful. We need to be approachable. We need to be that God can use us anywhere. Paul was in Rome. That's why he was doing this, Brother Nutty. He was in Rome. And Rome, at that time, everybody didn't believe. They wouldn't believe. I told you, they were stuck on the Mosaic law, you know. And he was coming there, and he wasn't being prejudiced. He preached to everybody, and he was, because he said right there, if I go back there again, still there with me, for I am not. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Look what he said to everyone that believes. To the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. See, he put some stipulations there, right? And that little word "if," you know, you know, you have to believe. See, but a lot of folks are if I would have did that. But let me tell you something, brother. When he stood up there and said, "If they will believe," he said, "They will believe." Now, one is everyone that believes that. If you believe, not just because you're a Jew first, not just because you're a Greek, but he come to them all. Because earlier in that chapter, he talked about barbarian, Greek, wise, unwise man. He come preach the gospel. He didn't discriminate. He could have said, well, I just come to talk to people that don't need a church. Only people that love God. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to deal with nobody else. I don't want to deal with nobody else. I don't want to deal with somebody I know that believes. But then how he did is he said it in the word right there because a lot of them people was believing, right? It was believing that Jesus was real. They believed that Jesus died and rose because they was witness of that. They seen it. But Paul said, I'm finna spend on some principles now. You know, I'm not coming here just for the Jews only, right? I'm coming for all of them. And verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It has to be believed in. He said, it is written. Nowhere else it says, as it is written, that the just should live by faith. If you don't get nothing else out of this today, he said, right here, it's revealed. Help me, Holy Spirit. Not nowhere else. He said, it is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous of man who holds the true unrighteousness. I'm going to back up in a minute. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. For the invisible thing, him, for the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Help me, Holy Spirit. He's making it so plain to us that none of us can say today. As he revealed this preaching, because he said, as it is written, man, the just should live by faith. That's us. If we're going to believe, we got to believe in faith. We've got to believe in some things. We probably the only person in the world, the only person in the conversation may believe. But have you ever been into a certain standard that if you ain't prayed, you can be persuaded? Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. You have to watch how the trick of the enemy is, because he knows his days are getting short. So he got to be very quickly and sharp to the point when he try to persuade them to listen to him. But let me tell you something. Believe in the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are all one. If you allow that to come in your heart, if you allow that to be in your heart, you don't have to worry about it. Somebody says, you ain't never seen God. I know the Bible says that no man has seen God in what? And live. But I do know one thing. He said, now to him is able to keep us faultless, to present us faultless before his glory with signature. I stopped right there to tell you, he's presenting us right now to our Father. He didn't say, I'm going to present the Jew. He said, even the Greek. We are part of that family. He's lifting us up to God and telling us that what he did for us on the cross, that you and I got to bear too. You and I got to pick that cross up, brother. Nutty. We got to pick it up even when we want to say something opposite of what our heart means. We have to tell the people, sometimes as men and women, we have to back up and think a little bit. But sometimes they won't let you back up. They want to answer right there, brother. Nutty. They want you to tell them how good God really is. Can you tell me something, can you witness to me and tell me what he has done for you lately? And somebody will tell me, I'm going to tell you what he done for me lately. He done this here. He woke me up this morning. Oh, man, I knew that. No, they don't take it for granted. You didn't have to wake up. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. He didn't have to wake none of us up. And he gave us a all our activities of our limbs, some of us is working. We can breathe, some of us, on our own. If that ain't good enough, he gave me my right mind to get up this morning, to call in, to do what we do today, and just give him praise. Lift him up. Paul would have to reveal this to them, and when he was giving it to them, he said the just should live by faith. I don't want you to miss that. You got to live by faith. You got to believe when no one else, when it might be 100 people in there, it's just you and God. Believe. that he can and he will make a way, because he has. Over 2,000 years ago, 2,021 years ago, he done it. He's not in the grave no more. He done it. He got up with all power in his hand. We don't struggle with that no more, brother. Man. We believe that he got up with all power. And I get a witness, but I know I'm right about it. You know why I know about it? Because when you really traveling this earth and you thinking you're doing it on your own, you'll find out one day that you're going to have to fall to your knees. I don't care what, how long you've been traveling, you're going to have to fall to the knees, and you're going to ask God for forgiveness. And then your forgiveness, you're going to tell God, Lord, have your way. Lord, prepare me that you want me to do. You know, you might not be like the most and know all the Bible scriptures, but what you need to find out in your life, that you know him, that he's your Lord and Savior in your life. Have faith. Believe. Because he did it. He did it for us. We must believe that Jesus rose. We must believe that he's coming back. If he come while we're here today, it won't be that no one on the line didn't know that he's what? He's Lord. He has to be Lord in your life, though. You have to make it up in your mind and confess out your mouth and from your heart to believe that God has raised him from the dead. You got to believe. And when you're professing your confession, you got to believe when things even get rough. Oh, hit me, Holy Spirit. Because that don't mean he's not God. Because it gets rough. He's still there. Matter of fact, he's holding your hand. Matter of fact, he started carrying you. Because you know when God started carrying you, brother, mother, the load get light. Help me, Holy Spirit. That load gets so light that you start looking at life a little different, because you want to start praising and thanking, because you felt his love. Because when he does this, he inhabits our praise. So I think about this invisible creation he does, that he shows us so man can understand. He does it and make it out of reality so you can wake up and have a personal relationship with him. Don't mess around and start reading the Bible. Don't mess around. Start taking your time, get some devotional with just you and him. Somebody said, I can tell you when Jesus was, a lot of times he had to steal away. But one day he got transparent. He went to the garden. He went to the garden and took three people with him. He said, you stay right here and you pray and watch. And he got so transparent, he went down to his knees. And the Bible said it was like blood, sweat, falling off of me. He was asking him to move this bitter cup. Ask him to move it. Sometimes we're going to have something bitter. Sometimes it's going to be tough that we're going to ask God to move. But Jesus told his father, after he came back the third time off the water, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I know I'm right about when I say this. You got to have a nevertheless moment when you're on this journey. Lord, I'm not going to do it like this. I'm going to trust in you. That's when your faith starts picking at you. That's when, because, you know, it ain't about how you sound before people. You know what, how it is? The best sermon I ever seen, who I said, not heard, but ever seen, is one who walked it. I know I'm right about it. Yeah, you know, you can look at a lot of things, but when you start looking at God from the inside out, you know what's happening there. You know he's being fruitful. I'm gonna give you this, and I'm gonna leave when I say this. Here. He loves us so much. He knows we're gonna fall into some things, but they were doing it this time. They were worshiping idol gods. They was looking at strange images, making images of things. And Paul wanted to straighten it out, and he did. He gave them the gospel. That's why he said he wasn't afraid. I'm gonna read all of the 23 right quick. That was it, because that. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but becoming vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible, look what it says, uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and the birds, and the, look at it, four-foot beasts, and the creeping thing, I want to stop here because I don't want to jump into some right there. I want you to tell you they were doing this, and he was preaching. He was preaching to them. Can you imagine the people had a mindset of looking at some image and thinking that was a god? And he telling them that wasn't no god. He was telling them they were worshiping the wrong thing. The Bible says we should make no graven image of something in heaven, nor even earth. And we do it every day. We rent shrines over the minute. we'll watch it. We're hanging on our neck. You know, talking about. He ain't on no cross no more. I know I'm right about it. He's at the cross. The Bible said that. I believe that. And since I got the 2 seconds left that I'm on, let me go to Hebrews right quick so I can make sure. And I won't have the 2 seconds left. Y'all with me? Y'all still there with me?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this here.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this here. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, if you ain't there, just put this in your margin. But Hebrews 9:11. Though Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. He said, that is to say, not of this building, neither by blood of a goat, of a calf. Look at that. And by his own, I like this for blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of a bull, a goat, of the ashes of a heifer, sprinkled and unclean, sanctified, look what it said, to purify of the flesh, how much more, I'm in the book, y'all, said the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serving the living God. Oh, I love this thing. Let me tell you something. Once you get this relationship with him, once you really fall in love with him, once you detach yourself from that natural body and start believing in what he just did, he said, I'm not like the other preachers did. I ain't like the other high priest that should have tied something to me. When I went there for the holiness, holy, said, I'm going to come out, look, he said, 3 days with all power in my hand. He said, I'm going to do it once, though. I ain't going to do it more like they do it. They did it ritually. They did it, what, once a year. They just took time out to do this here. But let me tell you something. He done it once, and he purged our conscience. I love that part. When you are hearing the word of God, and when you are, look at here, when you are living for the love of God. Don't you know, and when you hear God's word, it convicts you to do his will. It tears you up and down. I know it tears me up and down. If I hear somebody say Jesus, oh, help me, Holy Spirit. If I hear somebody say God, something goes all over me. You know what I'm talking about? Something goes all over me. I didn't got so intimate in the word. I'm going to rush on when I say this. So, look what he said. He said, for what the testament is there must be also the necessity of being deaf. Look at it, to the tester. For the testament is forced after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the tester lives. Oh, he got to go somewhere. So you and I. So you and I can get access to the Father. If he stayed, it would be no need for what? For him going into the being what? But he died for you and I. He said, wherefore, neither the first testament would they dedicate without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of a calf, as we said, and of a goat, and water, and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both of them on the book of all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined into you. Moreover, he spoke, look at that, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. I love this part. And almost all things, look at that, are by law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Have you been there? They did all they did, but they couldn't save themselves. With all the ritual they was doing with the blood. But when Jesus came, oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, when Jesus entered in, the Bible said Christ is not in the end until Holy Spirit is made with hands, which was figure of a truth, but what in heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. I told you, you got to have faith. The just should live by faith. If you believe that he's at the Father, right here at the Father right now, don't you know you got access to heaven? You got it. You're in the book of life. What detaches us from the book of life when we don't do what he asks us to do, he commands us to do, and he does each one of us different. He speaks to each one of us different. And I'm telling you right now, if he didn't told you something to do and you're not doing, you're not following the preacher, you're following the word of God. Help me, Holy Spirit. You're following the word of God, because as he preached, as long as he's preaching the word of God, you're supposed to follow him anyway. But when he deviates from that, that's when you're supposed to leave that alone. But pray for the pastor. Keep them lifted up. Keep them lifted up. Keep them evangelists lifted up. Keep the church lifted up so we can be fruitful for all. We shouldn't be bickering back and forth on a little bit of theological, this application that we read every day. We should be fighting about who is right and who is wrong. What we should be doing is presenting them Jesus. Let Jesus separate the wheat from the tares. Let Jesus put the goat on the left and the sheep on the right. Don't you do it because you took a place of the increase. Can I say it again? You took a place of the increase. Are you increasing? God only wants to increase. We just add the water and plant the seed and add the water. So I'm going to tell you this in passing. God is good. God is merciful. But he also is a God of justice. He reigns on the just and unjust. He's going to judge us accordingly of what we're doing. And I've tried them. None of it's true. Have you tried them lately? Have you made them Lord of your life? Have you took time out and said, you're going to be Lord of my life? Oh, I love God. I love him so much. I know he's right. So I thank God for the message. I thank him for the love that he gave us today. It's only you if you want to apply it to your life. It's only believe if you want him to be a sanctuary and reverence him in this sanctuary that we be every day. So I believe he's in the midst. I really believe there's more than one or two believe. He said if there's one or two or three, a touching degree in his name, he's in the midst. I believe there's way more than that. So I ask you to be in prayer with us as we go through this life changing. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. And y'all hold on for one second. I'm at this job. Hold on.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Eric.
Brother Eric.
Spoke of nothing but the truth. He back. And I spoke of nothing but the truth this morning, sisters and brothers. Again, a lot of times we think the word got to be delivered harsh and grab in the ear. But when you are teaching, you are doing God's work more than ever when you grab in your ear, hooping and hollering. The teaching of the word is what's going to deliver man. Because that's what man got to get the word. And I truly thank you once more and again. I hit the button late, but I've been in with you. And, it's amazing that how he come on, and I see it all the time, him, Reverend Henry, and they give the word of God. And I truly think man laid out on him when we don't hit the one button and confess Christ, the knowledge of Christ ourselves. Because truly, one day, sister and brother, you're going to have to stand account for yourself. Brother can't stand account for me. How much you tell me he loved me, and there's nothing I can do about it. He can't stand for me. Brother Nutter can't stand for me. I don't care how much you love me. Brother Henry can't stand. I got to stand for myself. And when I stand for myself, it's going to be based upon what I did with that dash, and that dash is my time here on this earth. Was I willing to tell man that I know him in the pardon of my sin? Was I willing to acknowledge Christ on Mount Rushmore, on the Sears Tower, on the streets, the highways and byways? So he said, go ye into the highways and byways, didn't he? Was I willing to acknowledge Christ? That's what I'm going to stand for. So no matter how Brother Eric give it, no matter how hard he teach and preach it, we're going to stand for ourselves. And I just want to tell him, as always, I thank you for the word of God once more and again, my brother. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father.
I don't know. I don't know if it was mentioned to you, my brother.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brother Nutter never mentioned to you. Now I got on 18, but we had a brother that lost a child this weekend, this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about it? You heard about it? Yeah, man.
No, I heard nothing about it. Nothing about it. No.
Brother Tony Wright lost a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you that the death angel is I don't know what state Tony is in, but a lot of us tend to think that the death angel can only touch down in Chicago, and it just goes to show you that the death angel touches everywhere. You need to get it right now. We're ready.
He don't get it right now. Yeah, the geographic area don't mean nothing to him. He cuts down everywhere now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's God telling every man. Job asked a question. He said, will a man live again?
Amen.
You know that. That's the question. You know what's going to happen after the transition. You know, we're going to lift that brother up too, brother. We're going to lift him up. We're going to pray for him and his family, you know, because only God knows the heart. You know, I'm not going to tell you everybody agrees. Everybody agrees different, brother. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that we have a prayer. That's what he was saying, that Paul was saying. That we can't be afraid of the gospel. You know, we have to preach it.
Amen.
Teach it, you know.
Amen.
And we can't, and then when you preach and teaching God, worrying about what people might think, you're in the wrong business. you got to get in there
Amen.
And preach from what God gives you. You know, so I might let it fall.
Amen.
But I think death is and I know death is what I thought a long time ago, until I got an understanding of, hey, death is not bad. It's just where you at when you die. You know, did you know the law? Did you know the law when you left this side?
According to the word, it's a good thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
My brother says it's not a bad thing. If you know the law, you know it's a good thing. Amen. But the Bible told you to cry when they come in and rejoice when you go out.
And
then he went on to say, to be absent from this body. So you should rejoice when you leave here. And then right in there. If you serve that dash right, from day in to day out, if you serve that dash right, sisters and brothers, you got no problem with that. Every man want to live life longevity. But it's what you did with your life. What you did with it. God, I heard him say, God, that Jesus is not going to die again. No, he didn't die one time. He's not going to die no more.
Mm-mm.
He died already. Mm-hmm. He died for my sin. He's not coming back for my sin again. He's coming back for me this time. See, the first time he came for my sin, really the second time he's coming for me. He's coming for me.
Yes, sir.
And see, I want to be like the scripture says. The scripture says that he have a prepared place
for prepared people.
I got to get myself in the prepared place, so I got to be prepared here to get there. You know, it's like I've said a million times, they said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You got to be present with the Lord here before you become absent from this body in order to be present with the Lord. You don't want to just see him for him to tell you to depart from me. You want to see him and say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. God is good. And I thank the Lord for giving us these young men to come in every morning and declare the word of God to a man. Now, we go to church on Sunday and we hear the preacher, but we have an opportunity to hear the word of God every morning on God's plan, twice on Tuesday. I thank the Lord for giving the opportunity to do that. I really do. I thank you for giving us an opportunity and then giving us someone that's to actually, in a street term, we'll say go through hell and hot water. I can only say it one way, my brother, because sometimes work come into play. Sometimes we have to leave, trying to work and come back, trying to work and run the board, trying to work and give the word. It's not easy.
Okay.
God never said it would be. He never told. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of men. So they, we're looking for the easy street. All of us are playing the lottery every day trying to catch the $1 million. We want to live on the easy street so hard. He never said it would be easy. God never said his way was easy. He said, take my yoke and learn of me. That's what he said. It would be easy. He didn't tell you you're going to be on easy street every day. He didn't tell you you're going to live a life of luxury every day. But what he did tell you is that you could stay in. He said you could stay in it. And the reason I know you can say it because he said, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. So you can do it. We just got to get on board while the blood is running warm, brothers and sisters. Got to get on board.
That's it.
Truly, Bro Eric, I promise him, every day on this earth is one less day on this earth. I promise you. Every day is one less day.
You can put that in the book.
Man may not believe that, but you can put it in the book. That's what we say. You can put that in your pipe and smoke it. You can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Every day on this earth is one less day. You're going to meet Jamaica one day. God's going to meet him one day. And I tell you, my brother, if there's ever been a time in life that you needed the Lord, the time is now. The time is now, sister and brother. I was looking at my news last night. I looked again this morning in my news channel. A young man walking out of the county jail. Now, if there's ever going to be some police around, they're going to be at the county jail. Chicago got probably the biggest county jail in the United States. They gunned a man down on 26th in California. And anyone ever been to Chicago, if you just say 26th California, they know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about the county jail. They gunned him down. He had just been released. And two guys, they have a car, gunned him down right in front of the county jail.
Wow.
And he was walking with a 60-year-old lady. And I know they didn't say how old the other young lady was. One of them was 60. That was a time that right there commanded respect. Commanded respect.
Yes, sir.
Those days are far behind us now. So if you don't see, I say all that to say this, if you don't see that, if there was ever a time that you needed the Lord, the time is now. Bro Eric, Reverend Henry, Bro D, we don't know what to tell you. Bro Tim, I mean, we can declare the word of God to you all day, every day. If you can't see it, brothers and sisters, we don't know what to tell you. We really don't. And I say that to show you just how close time is winding up.
Yes,
this thing is coming to an end. It's coming to an end.
Yes, sir.
It really is.
Yes, sir.
It's winding up fast.
Quickly.
Man,
yes,
when they were gunning you down, coming out the county jail, the biggest county jail in the United States. It is not the biggest. It's no less than the second or third biggest county in the United States. I think California is bigger than Chicago. And you got police is going in and out these doors 24 hours a day. And this happened in daylight. If they'll do that and you don't see that the time is winding up, you'll never see it. Time is winding up fast. I'm looking at the news for a building, where half of them just collapsed. Time is fast and winding up, sister and brothers. We need to get on board. Get on board while the blood is running warm. There's a song, Brother, that came out when I was a kid that said, the time is now. Get in a hurry and do it now. You need to stop and get on board. And that is so true. You need to get on board while you got a chance.
Wow.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, my brother, I'm about to put this thing up. I got to get on off in here, right? And got to hit this down for a second. You hear me? Can you hear me?
I hear you. I mean,
okay. Got to get on. I'm on that's the transition over to the prayer. You know, you were talking about the Tony Wright, you know, in God's game. You know what I'm talking about? And that transition is a hard thing to understand sometimes. But then I say it again, to live by faith. If we just believe that God don't make no mistake, you know, we question everything. And God's a just God. Even Job questioned. He said, there is a place where the righteous could seek counseling, you know. So I just thank God for his all-wise, all-knowing, that he can touch our heart at such a time like this. And thank you, Martha, for all the things you do and how you send it out, the nuggets you give us time by time we come. And we try to our best to let you know that if it had not been for God who was on our side. This is one thing you sent out. You sent several out, but I wanted to look at this. Seeing beyond the loss. Seeing beyond the loss. I'm just thinking about this, what's just happening with Tony Wright. You know, faith in God's goodness and keeping hope alive. Something like this, you got to know God. Because these times like this will draw men to the depression. But we want to pray with him and his whole family. We want to pray on because it may be seen like a loss, but it's a heaven game. You know, we don't know the circumstances, but we do know one thing. God doesn't make a mistake. And we want to pray for all families that are going through right now at that same time as well. Or maybe still grieving. God is a just God. He loves us so much. He don't leave us to ourselves. And we're going to lift up that brother and his family. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace. We come with our heads bowed and our hearts lifted up. Thanking you, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, that reigns in the place. You know, we just touch and agree right now for our brother and losing one of his daughter, Lord. Tony Wright, we just ask you, Father God, the best that family to hold, Lord, to understand that what you have done and allowed to happen, that you adopt them. Have never lost a patience. You know, God, yeah, we're all understanding, and you don't make no mistake. So, Lord, we just ask you to give strength to that family in the name of Jesus. May there not be a word, Lord, but we know you can comfort us at such a time like this.
Yes.
We ask you to cover all the people that are connected to this family, Lord. So maybe he hurt you just because he hurt you. Bless him, Lord, because he believes, Lord, that when we pray together like this, that you hear him, Lord. So we ask you to help. We have some compassion for him, Lord, right now. So we ask you to touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we ask you to bless all the ones that are going through right now, Lord, whether it's sickness, whether it's death, whether it's pain, whether it's hardship, whether it's losing a house or a car, Lord, whether we ask you to give strength to your people, Lord, the hardship that we feel is hardship. But we believe what you say, Lord, that you're coming back, Lord. You're coming back, and some of us, you allowed us to leave before you come back. Just give us strength for the ones to stay here, Lord. Bless us, Lord, that we always keep you first. Bless us as we go farther in this day, Lord. Bless us, Lord, that we want to see you on the other side. And sometimes, Father God, we don't understand until we get to the other side. While we're here, Lord, strengthen your people, Lord. Strengthen in the name of Jesus, Lord. We love you. We adore you. and we can't do nothing without you. We ask you to hear this prayer, Lord, and grant us our peace, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. I don't know where Brother Joe, you hit that one button. Did you want to say that before we go?
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Hello. No, I was just touching and agreeing with the message this morning. But
okay,
I love
God,
you, brothers, and just we go. I'm praying for everybody. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So did you get some Joe?
I just thank the Lord, my brother. I just thank the Lord for life, health, and strength. You know, I was listening to you as you were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, truly, and sometimes I tell man a lot, do you know you get your biggest blessing when you roll over and realize you were still here among the land we're living? That is the
moment.
Biggest blessing that Lord can give you on this earth. There's a bigger mm-hmm. blessing that you haven't got it yet. On this earth that the Lord has given us to live upon, the biggest is when you roll over and realize you. And then you woke up and realize your family was still here. That's the biggest and biggest. And we just thank God. We understand that the right family is going through a situation right now that only God can heal.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray for them. We can pray for them. Mm-hmm. That's all we can do. We can be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go through the formalities of saying, Brother Tony, if there's
mm-hmm.
anything you need, man, feel free to call
right,
us.
Right.
We'll be right there.
Right.
And we understand, but God truly understands.
Right.
Like my brother said, it may feel as a loss to us, but it's a heaven gain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heaven gain. God has never, cannot, and will not make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He just unmistakable. He just can't do
mm-hmm.
it. So we have to thank God for our trials and tribulations, my brothers. I heard
mm-hmm.
my brother say, even though you're going through, just know someone else is going through too. But learn to thank God for your trials and tribulations. See, your trials and tribulations are strength. You go
mm-hmm.
through your trial, he brings you out, and you're stronger. I heard a song where he
mm-hmm.
says, I'm stronger now than I ever
mm-hmm.
been before. And that's done through trials and tribulations. I promise you, God will send you through things just to strengthen you. He wants to bring you out. God will allow you to go through trials just to show you that he's God, and
mm-hmm.
I am able to bring you out. Then God will allow you to stay in trials and tribulations to show you that I am God and I'm able to bring you out in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying, Real? He'll bring you out just to show you
okay.
that he's God. And then he'll let
oh,
you
yeah.
stay in just to show you that he's God. And both ways, he's strengthening you. Pick up your Bible, sister and brothers. Get in tune with the Lord a little more each and every day of your life. Because I can promise you, he's not coming back after sin the second time. He's coming back with judgment. It's wrapping up fast. That's all, brother, do you have to say this morning? I'm like, bro, Eric, I love you guys. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it. Hold on.
Well, we said everybody know if it's God's will, and if it's his will, we'll be back home tomorrow. And keep us all in prayer, you know, that we keep coming out and trying to do what is called God's plan. Thank you. And we love you. It's sure that you can't do nothing about it.
I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. Oh. I'm gonna see